A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the ancient one took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire, with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is King, the Lord Most High, over all the earth.
The Lord is King, the Lord Most High, over all the earth.
The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are around about him. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne.
The Lord is King, the Lord Most High, over all the earth.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice, and all peoples see his glory.
The Lord is King, the Lord Most High, over all the earth.
Because you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all gods.
The Lord is King, the Lord Most High, over all the earth.
A reading from the second letter of St. Peter. Beloved, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
I am your servant, Lord. Speak to me. You have the words of everlasting life.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Interesting to note that when the Gospels highlight Jesus' particular intimate friends from amongst the 12 that he chose, Peter, James, and John are always singled out. They are the ones that appear with Jesus at pivotal points in the mission entrusted to him by the Father. As I alluded to in the announcements, the Transfiguration is a moment in the Lord's life, in the revelation of his divinity as the God-man, that is captured in three of the four Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's of those three that Luke actually tells us what Jesus was conversing about with Elijah and Moses, who also appear in the scene. But as we see this moment presented to us, contextually, what is happening? Jesus has just announced that he himself is to be crucified in Jerusalem. This is after he asked the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And the various responses came, but it was under the movement of the Holy of the Father that Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was from that moment that Jesus began to disclose what would happen, what would be the mission of the Messiah and his fate in Jerusalem. But again, what we are being told and shown today is what was not known, well, it was expected, but no one would have known how it was going to actually be manifested. We see Moses, we see Elijah. And we hear this description in the first reading from the book of the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, the prophet, speaking about one of ancient times that will appear in a kingly appearance, dressed in white, dazzling color clothes, brightly shining. This is a description of one who is of the heavenly origins, not of the earthly origin. And it is also akin to the fact that it's on a mountaintop, We know that in the mountain experiences, God tends to reveal himself. In this case, it's very telling that Moses and Elijah both appear with Jesus in the midst. Now, when Peter sees this, he's overjoyed. Let me build three tents, one for you, Moses, and Elijah. Well, by virtue of the fact that he's saying that, and we can understand the gospel says, he didn't know what he was talking about. Of course he didn't know what he was talking about. Because he had actually put on the same level with Jesus, both Moses and Elijah. But as we see it described, Jesus is being presented and described as above Moses and Elijah. When Moses went atop Mount Sinai and came back, his face radiated. He reflected the glory of God on his face, and he had to wear a veil over his face. Elijah was caught up in a fiery chariot. He went up in a whirlwind, remember, up in the fiery chariot. But Jesus, we are told, this glory that they see being manifested, this divinity that's coming forth, is coming from his person. He possesses this glory. This isn't something that's being shined upon him. He is radiating this. He is the source. And so, very, very telling for us to see this. It's also been described that the reason why Moses and Elijah are on each side of Jesus represents the embodiment, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And that's certainly something surmisable, and it certainly is plausible. You can make that connection. But even something more fundamental is being revealed here. Remember, both Moses and Elijah desired to see the face of God, but they could not see him. And they were both hidden in the cleft of the mountain as God would pass by, and he revealed himself to Moses by speaking, the Lord, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and so forth, merciful, and so on. And Elijah, instead of hearing him or seeing God in the earthquake, the fire, and so forth, it was a still whispering voice. But neither Elijah nor Moses were allowed to see the face of God. They would not be able to behold him. But now, with the advent of the Christ, the reality of the mystery of the incarnation, the eternal Word of God vesting himself in a human nature, now God is able to reveal his face to the human race. And so they behold Jesus. They behold the glory of God manifested in a human nature in this moment of transfiguration. And when we see Peter, James, and John, it is to remind us when Moses went atop Mount Sinai to receive the law, he brought with him the trinity of the high priest of Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. And so in this case, it's Peter, James, and John go atop the mount, and this revelation is made known to them. And what type of a revelation are we being shown? It is the reality of God as a trinity of persons. All three members of the trinity are revealed. The voice of the Father: behold, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. The cloud of the glory, the presence, the glory cloud, the Shekinah, the shining cloud that cast a shadow that caused them to bow down, representing the Holy Spirit. That same description that was given, the Holy Spirit overshadowing the Virgin Mary when she would conceive in her womb, the eternal Word of God through her fiat. And of course, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus, in the humanity assumed. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. We can see a parallel here, don't we? Remember at the baptism, that was the other time that the Trinity was revealed. The voice of the Father, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove at that time, and Jesus coming up from the waters being declared, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But here a directive is given. Listen to him. Listen to him. And what difference will that make? Well, if we hear how St. Peter describes the event that we have presented in today's gospel, it will mean all the difference in the world. For he says, moreover, he says, after describing how they heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We are in dark times. We can say every generation of followers, of believers, have experienced their fair share of darkness in a world gone wrong in sin. But it's also significant that Peter, James, and John are lifted up for us as disciples that were brought up to see this moment of transfiguration. In truth, Jesus going beyond the form he has assumed. That's what transfiguration, transformation means in the Greek. He's gone beyond the form he has assumed, namely the human nature. Peter, James, and John. St. Thomas Aquinas gives us the insight as to the significance of why these three. Well, Peter, because Peter of the 12 loved Jesus the most. John, the beloved, is always presented as the one whom Jesus loved the most. And James, of the 12, he would be the first who, out of love for Jesus, would be the first to lay down his life in witness to the gospel. And so we find ourselves on this Transfiguration Sunday, in this Transfiguration moment, which every Eucharist presents us with. We hear the words, the teachings of the law and the prophets, and we see the fulfillment of everything in the person of Jesus as the gospel is proclaimed week in and week out. And as it is proclaimed, the voice of the Father says, listen to him. To what end? So that those of us who have fallen in love with Jesus, as Peter, we may allow this one sent by God to love us as he chooses, as his beloved. And with that exchange of loving God with our whole hearts, minds, and souls, and allowing God to love us with everything he has as his own beloved children, we too, like James, will willingly lay down our lives in witness to this revelation of God's glory. The reality of divinity dwelling with humanity until the end of times into the age of glory, which we are given a preview of. We pray for the grace today to listen attentively, to have our full focus on this one whom the Father has sent among us to show us the way that leads to a life without end. God love you.